Did you know that deserts cover about one-fifth of the Earth's surface? Reading up on them, I also discovered that although deserts occur where rainfall is less than 50 centimetres a year, they have a considerable amount of specialised vegetation, as well as vertebrate and invertebrate animals. Now why, you're probably wondering, this sudden interest for deserts? It's simple. Not only is 2006 the International Year of Deserts and Desertification, June the 17th is World Day to Combat Desertification, a day in which to highlight the fact that desertification is of global concern and in which to celebrate the fragile beauty and unique heritage of our deserts.
Deserts are actually beautiful places that one should seek to visit.
Sheila Munundu is Senior Technical Advisor on Environmental and Natural Resource Management at IFAD. That's the International Fund for Agricultural Development.
They have biodiversity, biological diversity of its kind, which is unique in any area, and that's something that we should try and preserve. In addition to that, the beauty of it is in terms of the oases, in areas where oases can be found. And if we do promote sustainable practices, you find that it can be green with trees and with the agroforestry and rangeland practices. So desert should not be a place that we as a community should desert, but we should try and help those communities to make this an area which can be sustainable to promote the livelihoods of those communities.
So that's the slogan, don't desert the deserts.
Yeah, don't desert the deserts, that's the slogan for the World Environment Day. And I think it's a very valid point and something that we really should take very seriously.
And that's what Sheila does. Take the problem of desertification and the effect it has on the communities that live in or on the fringes of deserts so seriously. She has recently travelled to China to participate in the Beijing International Conference on Women and Desertification.
It's one of the events of the International Year for Deserts and Desertification. And it was basically to address the issue of women and how they address the problem of desertification. The participants included representatives from governments, NGOs, civil society and donor organizations. And there was a lot of discussion on the issues, and we ended up with the Beijing endorsement statement, which mentions a lot of things.
For example, I asked Sheila, what exactly were you there for?
Our basic aim was to go there and launch our publication on the work we've done in our developing countries. And the idea was to share with the participants there some of the innovative approaches that have come up in the developing countries and to strategize on ways forward of how to better mainstream gender into related issues.
Why is gender such an issue when we talk about desertification?
Well, gender is an issue because, for example, we find that women play a key role in managing natural resources in these areas and also in food production. And these areas that tend to be degraded severely affect the livelihoods of women. And because they're generally involved in subsistence and small economies, we find that the land degradation makes them more vulnerable. And it's for that reason that the issue of women is considered as key when it comes to promoting sustainable management in these areas.
Yes, that makes sense. It's traditionally the women who devote time and effort to the land. They grow, process, manage, and market most of the food and other natural resources that come from the earth. That means they have direct experience of environmental degradation. And that's why promoting their participation in planning and decision-making can really ultimately make the difference. But meanwhile, I asked Sheila, what exactly is desertification?
Desertification can be generally termed as a process of land degradation which eventually results in desert formation. It's caused by two factors. It could be either natural factors or man-made activities or a combination of the two. With regard to man-made activities, it results into deforestation, soil erosion, water pollution, loss of biodiversity in these areas. And you find that degraded land leads to reduction in agricultural productivity, and this in turn reduces land carrying capacity and loss of sustainability. And this therefore leads to increased poverty, and increasingly over the years, we are now seeing the issue of environmental refugees.
Environmental refugees are people who leave their land in search of a better livelihood elsewhere. This is yet another phenomenon, Sheila points out, that directly affects the women.
Most of these people tend to be men, so which means the women and the children are left behind, and the men either migrate to the urban areas in search of income, additional income, or they move to other countries across the borders to areas where they can get better livelihoods. So you therefore find that the women who are left behind take on additional roles, responsibilities that are traditionally used to be held by men. And we are noticing that this additional responsibility is not coupled with greater access to decision making or to community facilities or to availability of technology or finance or other resources. Therefore, the women left behind, you find that their already heavy workloads already become even more burdensome.
And that takes us back to the Beijing conference. Having pinpointed the major problems, I asked Sheila what was decided.
The conference ended with the endorsement of a Beijing statement, which actually reaffirms the importance of joint efforts by the international community in combating desertification. And this should be taken as a global issue. The important contribution of women in promoting natural resource management was recognized, but at the same time it was acknowledged that there's a lack of recognition of their role. So the international community was called upon to reinforce their efforts in combating desertification, and five key points were agreed on. The need to promote women's greater access to productive assets, including technology. The second one is on institutional strengthening, which should include empowerment of women, capacity building, and the development of policies that are incentive-based. Thirdly is for communities and the international institutions to have joint implementation arrangements so that they can try and address the issue. The fourth one is improved funding at the national level, and especially with regards to women, if they could be given greater access to microcredit and savings facility. And the last one, which is equally important, is on better reporting and monitoring of the situation on the ground and the need to capture lessons that are learned and to disseminate them to other regions where they'll be most applicable.
What about us? I mean, people in the Western world, in countries where there is no desert, for example, do you think it's important that there should be awareness of the problem?
Well, I think it should be important because desertification is actually transnational in nature. So it's not something that can be addressed just at the country level. And therefore, addressing the issue calls for enhanced implementation strategies at the international level and at the sub-regional level. And such strategies would include things like incorporating institutional aspects, transferring sound, sustainable land management practices, coming up with innovative mechanisms. And in order to do this in an effective manner, I think the international community, not only those at the national levels, but also at our level, should come together in a bid to fight and combat this issue, which is really affecting local lives in the affected areas.
Yes, although we may choose Iceland, for example, for our next holiday, that doesn't mean the problem doesn't concern us. And Sheila points out, there have in fact been some positive developments. There are signs of hope that deserts haven't been completely deserted.
There are actually things happening on the ground. For example, here in IFAD, we've done a review of our projects that have been approved since 1999, and we found that there are changes happening. And some of the lessons we've learned is we have managed to help countries fulfill the objectives in meeting the obligations to the United Nations Conference on Desertification by promoting, for example, the use of time-saving technology so that women can spend less time on activities such as collecting water and fuel wood.
In the desert, it must take a long time to collect water and fuel wood.
Yes, it does take a long time, and that's why if we did come up with innovative technologies such as energy-saving stoves, or in the case of water, bringing water to the people and not having them walk long distances, and in promoting conservation measures, that will go a long way towards helping affected communities.
Other important arms, Sheila says, are raising awareness and providing education, empowering groups of women, providing basic infrastructure and improving women's access to markets. All things that work towards the promotion of sustainable conservation practices on desert lands. So it seems to me, it's very much up to the women of the deserts to save these precious and fragile lands. Sheila too confessed that although the role of men is important, also as not to marginalise women, she has been deeply inspired.
Women actually inspire me. When you go out to the desert areas or to the drylands, you see women with smiles on their faces going about their work and taking everything quite easy, though the situation can be quite difficult. And I must say that I admire their strength. And I'm not just talking of the physical strength, but I'm talking of their inner strength. And that is what inspires me.